Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. It's the 2nd of June. Not the 2nd of June. What am I talking about? It's the 16th of June. It's 6:45. 6:45. Overcast. No sunshine as yet. As I look out the window. And yes, it's a Tuesday. I have a cup of coffee. And I shall have a little... Yes, a little sit down and have a little natter to you first thing in the morning. Had a not a good night last night. Excuse me, just having a slurp. It was all right at first, and I woke up about 2:30, and I don't know why the brain was alive with thoughts and things. And yes, wasn't really able to sleep terribly well. Came downstairs and looked at my emails. Sometimes that helps. I know the old blue light thing is not conducive, but actually, in the past, I've found that I can, you know, deal with the ones that come in the night time, and then head back to bed. There's a couple I need to answer this morning, but a book sale came in, which was nice, and a, excuse me, and a book inquiry, so that was quite handy. So I will stuff a book into an envelope and get it in the post this morning. Yesterday, something that arrived that I ordered was a smart charger. This is for the tractor, for the tractor battery. And now the plan is to sort out a solar panel and whatever gubbins you need. I'm not quite sure what you need, but something that takes the sunlight, turns it into electricity through the solar panel, then... an inverter, is it, or whatever, so that I get a 240 volt output, I think, is what I will require, so that I can then turn that into a 12 volt charge, and through whatever the system is, one can then charge up the tractor battery, have it in situ, so that it continually charges the battery. Because that's the one little issue that we have, is that because the tractor isn't being used all the time, and when it does start, it takes a big heft out of the battery. I think the reason it does that is there's no glow plugs. There doesn't seem to be any warming going on in the Fordson Major. Whereas in my van and other diesel applications, you have a sort of glow plug which heats up the, I guess it heats up the diesel, is it? Enough to let it start, something like that. I'm trying to get into this package. So I guess that way it doesn't take up quite such a hefty charge. And as I think I mentioned before, because I'm not sort of ploughing fields and things, one needs to do this. I don't know what one would have done prior to this. I guess they must have been, if they had batteries, there must have been charging places or machinery. It's a very slimline thing. There it is, with lots of sockets and plugs and wires. It's a bit like an unboxing on YouTube, this, but you can't actually see it. So I can say it's about 8 inches long, it's about 3 inches wide, it's about 2 inches in depth, with wires coming out one end and wires coming out the other end of this oblong-shaped thing. And it has a little window display. It's relatively cheap, actually. I think it was about £22. But I know it works, because it worked with my friend... who charged up the battery overnight the other day. But the important part is that it also tells you how much charge is in a battery. Oh, I see. So I thought I might... Just, it's got those funny little
wire tags that you unwind, you know, around the wire to hold them together. Just unfurling those. Oh, I'm tightening them up. Which way is it? You know. It's just, there's a lot of it. I thought I'd charged up the, there we go, the leisure battery with another charger I bought, which was a lot more expensive, actually. Twice the price, funnily enough. And it doesn't do, it, for some reason, it doesn't do the battery on the tractor. It does leisure batteries. I don't know what difference there could possibly be. But apparently there is a difference. Right. Having done thus, I'm going to, I need to connect something here, because it gives you two options. It gives you a choice of either connect, where is it? How does that? That doesn't work there, does it? Oh, I see. You either, does that go in there? It must do. Yeah. That's it. So the choice, sorry about that, the choice is either wires with little crocodile clips on, or wires, second set of wires, which has open rings. In other words, if you're connecting it to something that has a screw and you want to screw it down, and that might be so if you're doing it to trickle charge sort of permanently, which I may well do with the tractor battery. But if you're just doing, you know, an overnight charge, then you probably only want, you know, because you might be doing several different things, you may only want to use the crocodile clips anyway. So I've got myself tangled up here, and there's, on the mains lead, you plug it in, obviously, because it's got to take electricity and invert it, I suppose, to 12 volts. I mean, I imagine that's really all it is. It's just some form of inverter to take 12 foot 40 and turn them into 12 volt trickle. So you never know. I mean, a solar panel might just give you a 12 volt output anyway. With it probably has to have a box, a gubbins box, doesn't it? Right. Now I'm just wondering. I'm going to place you on the balance you precariously on. I say you, the microphone, on a box. I plug this in, and it's lit up in green. And it says there's no voltage. So let us plonk this on now. Got to work out on the leisure battery what is the where the positive and the negative is. Actually, I've got to move you because this box is half on the battery. I'm just going to plonk you over here. Sorry about that, banging you about. So, very important I get it the correct way around. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Gripping, right, that seems to be the plus over there. It's a shame they don't mark the plus in red. It's just two terminals on a battery, and I understand that you're supposed to put the live one on first. Right, that's that one, and that one. And it says 12.8 volts. So, funnily enough, according to this, it says it's not actually fully charged. But as this smart charger is charging it up. Well, that's very odd. I might just leave it to do a bit of that and see where we go. It's in the red, you see. It's flashed up in the red saying, oh no, not charged. I mean, I haven't read the manual or anything, but it seems to be charging
I mean, we haven't been there for a couple of days, so, or haven't used it for a couple of days, and I charged it the minute I got home. It is trickling in. That's quite fascinating, because the last time I used my other charger, which was, as I say, double the price, it did charge up the battery, and the battery was lasting really well. So I'm going to let this, I don't know what it's supposed to, what number it's supposed to be at, but it's 13.6 volts. And I'm guessing that's what's in there. I have no idea. Maybe I shall have a look at the leaflet. I hope you're terribly excited by all of this. Probably not at all. But it is a little thing that came, and I thought I'd share it with you. Where is the leaflet? Instruction manual. I suppose one should read that before. Risk of explosion. Oh, right. Explosive gases may escape during charging. This is normal. Right. So do not charge near flames or sparks. Do not smoke in the area. Please ensure adequate ventilation and keep charging area completely clear of combustible materials. How about that? And then it goes into the LCD display. 12 volt standard lead acid battery. Oh yeah. Oh, well, let's have a look at the display again and see, because it's probably detecting what the battery is and telling me what it, but it's gone into the red now. I don't even know if I'm supposed to keep it on in the red. Okay, there's a, maybe I shouldn't have that in case it blows up. It's got a 12 volt AGM on this one. It's detected and it's in the red. I better get to the point where it goes back in the green. So, oh yes, 12 volt AGM battery mode. Display. Battery. Yeah, no display. Fault, main supplies. Not connected. Right. Summary of operation. Okay, we're not worried about that too much. Charging lead selection. Interchange. Select appropriate lead for your application. This must be done before connecting the charger to the mains. Yes, I've done all that. So what are we saying here? Connect the charger to the battery. The charger will detect the battery's voltage. If the battery is more than 7.5 detected, the charger recognises the battery as 12 volts. If the voltage is 7.5 to whatever, it's activated. If the voltage doesn't match, within 30 minutes, the battery is faulty. Yeah. And connect the charger to the battery. Yes, done that. Charger will detect the battery's... All right, okay, that's the same thing. Step two, charging until the voltage reached 12.8. Right, every 10-15 minutes, check the charger. The cycle will, it doesn't say whether it goes red or not. The cycle will repeat to every 15 to 20 minutes. This charging cycle will continue. Right, okay. And, right, so it's a very simple thing, and I don't think you can go wrong, really. Connection, charging, when charging is complete. I just want to know, because it's gone red, I assume that just means it's charging, but yes, connect to that. For the batteries removed, connect negative lead to the negative post. After connecting the clips, rotate them so as to move any dirt or oxidisation. Do not attempt to start the vehicle with the charger connected. No, when charging is complete. No. Nothing. Nothing about... I have to assume that that is it. Anyway, there we go. I don't think it's that complicated. You know, these things are for idiots, really. We're all idiots, aren't we, in one way or another, when we're doing something new and fresh. Another slurp there. Anyway, it's not really designed for this one, as I said. Well, it's designed for all of them, I suppose, but it's going up pretty swiftly, so maybe it's only just slightly decharged over the time it's been sitting here. So I'm going to leave it. It's got a little battery, you know, the sort of icon of a battery charging up. It's got one of those, so I'm pretty rest assured about that. So that's all right. Right, brilliant. Sorry about that. That was 15 minutes of your life that you really weren't that bothered about. But this is behind the scenes of, and occasionally, I mean, I don't listen to these immediately once I've recorded them, but occasionally I do go back and listen to, you know, at random times to see what I was doing and what I thought about in previous years, because these recordings have been going on for 20 years, which is quite hard to, you know, think about, really. And my voice has changed, I guess. It was a lot higher. It's deeper now. I haven't noticed it, as indeed I don't suppose anybody does. And it's interesting to hear some of the nonsense and ramblings, and you go, oh, yes, I remember that. So as well as keeping a diary, I do this, as you know. The diary is quite handy for an instant look back on certain days, of course. But it is interesting. I've got recordings of my dad and my mum, not so much of my mum, which is a shame. And I would thoroughly recommend making recordings of your parents, if you can. I mean, these days, of course, people have got video footage on their phones and things, so it's not quite as different. But my dad passed away some years ago now. And I did do some videoing of him when he had dementia. But when I was recording the Vobe show, sort of, must be 15 years ago now, when he was still well and sprightly, but full of memories, I had him in the studio that I built in the back of the house in the old shed, and I recorded his time at the BBC, and I did another one. I have another recording, and it is strange, but nice to hear the voices of, you know, dearly departed. I interviewed a chap called Colin, and he was on Worthing Pier when it caught fire, and was able to help the fire brigade, or call the fire brigade, and they came and put it out. But I don't think it was a serious fire. It's not one of these big fires that I can't remember now. I've got the recording somewhere. Anyway, nice chap. He was a history chap. He did a lot of history on churches. He was a fascinating bloke. And then I heard he died, because he was in his 80s. And I believe there's another chap, actually, I recorded. I mean, probably loads of them that I recorded back in the day, who are no longer with us. But anyway, this Colin chap died. And then, I don't know, five, 6 years went past, and his surviving wife got in touch, and she said, I understand you've got a recording of Colin. I would dearly love to hear it. And I was able to send it to her as an MP3, and she was so touched and so grateful. And you can imagine, for a loved one back then, I mean, as I say, these days everyone's got recording on their phones and things, but if you haven't filmed or recorded, I think it's nice to film and take photographs, of course, and do all that, absolutely. You know, footage is, in those times, is precious. But audio, what is it about the fact that you don't have the visuals, that you have your imagination? Audio is an amazing format, especially when it comes to some sort of memories, because you're concentrating more on the audio than the visual, and you hear things, perhaps hesitancy in the voice, timbre, the pattern of the voice, the quality of the voice, whereas the visual stimulus almost takes over and the audio is a secondary thing. And that may be fine, but if the quality of the video or the person is a distance away or whatever, you might not get everything that you want from that recording. And I think that the audio, especially if it's reasonably well recorded, is quite astounding. And I'm very pleased to have these. The problem is that they're on a digital format, and digital format necessitates copying and copying and copying and storing in different places, because it's very difficult to store digital stuff and not have it wiped out. I think DVDs and CD-ROMs are probably the safest bet than SD cards, hard drives, and so on. USB sticks and things. Although, they are, the USB sticks and SD cards are, you know, relatively easy to keep in a, perhaps, a tobacco box tin, a tobacco tin, or something that doesn't get affected by any other magnets and likely to wipe the contents. I don't fully understand how a DVD works. It's some sort of light particles, isn't it, that's got the information in it somehow. Anyway, it's a fascinating thing to have, and it's you know, it's very easy to store so much. I have got somewhere in a variety of different hard drives and even on old laptops and things, which may not even start up, all the Naked Englishmans, but I was diligently sort of keeping them, but then I, you know, I sort of lost it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't overly matter. I think it is a bit like radio in some ways, that it is of the moment, it is of the day, and that there's enough of an archive for me to go back to have them all. I can't imagine that when I'm dead that my children will sit diligently and listen to each and every one. I doubt they'll do that at all. They'll listen to perhaps a couple of them and then go, oh, okay, got the measure of that, and they'll probably just ditch it. That is the problem, isn't it? And the same with the old Vobe shows, the audio version of the Vobe shows. There will be some gems in there and a lot of perhaps not so much just bits, but I, you know, whilst it's when I had to clear my father's estate out and my mother's estate, very little was saved, and in one respect that's quite a shame, but then they didn't really have anything that was of great value or personal value, a couple of diaries and things. Because the problem was they were quite thrifty and they threw stuff away before they died. I mean, there was a lot of tat there that had to be skipped, and just, you know, furniture and books that weren't, I wasn't interested in, and things like that. But in terms of, and you know, musty old clothes and that sort of stuff, but in terms of things that would mean something, there was really very little, and that's a shame. But in some respects, I think that's pretty good, because otherwise you'd be cluttered up with you know, your mum and dad's stuff. Some people, of course, my dad inherited a bit of furniture when his mother died, and he didn't know what to do with all of it. He got rid of some of it, or shared it with his sister, as I remember, and some of it he just sold or gave away. But it was old, heavy, Victorian-type furniture. And he was pleased to get shot of it, I think. But we didn't really inherit any of his furniture, so... Anyway, there we go. Well, sorry about the opening with all this charger stuff. It's sort of a bit boring for you, as indeed sometimes they are. But that is a window into somebody else's life, isn't it? And that's how I like to think of this, although sometimes it gets very deep and philosophical and trying to work out who we are and all that. But I shall leave you now, and I will go and get my book signed, ready to go to the post office, get that done, and see if this charger is doing what it should be doing. Anyway, thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.